This is Michael Edward Miller for WUTC. In this segment, we're discussing why Chattanooga matters to the United Auto Workers. Last year, the UAW held an election at the local Volkswagen assembly plant. The UAW wanted to officially represent the plant's blue-collar workforce. That's about 1,400 employees. The UAW lost. However, several months after the failed election, 15 workers went ahead and started a local chapter anyway. It's called UAW Local 42. It now claims to represent the majority of the plant's blue-collar employees, but UAW Local 42 can't collectively bargain or organize a strike. So now the UAW is hoping for a new election, one that could happen later this month. This new election would involve only plant maintenance workers. That's about 164 employees at the plant, a fairly small number. But it's an election the UAW could win this time. The National Labor Relations Board is still deciding whether that election will take place. That got me wondering, how unusual is it to have a union like this, one that represents plant workers but has no real power? To get some answers, I'm speaking with labor relations expert Phil Wilson. He's the president of the Labor Relations Institute, a consulting firm located in Oklahoma. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Sure, no problem.
I just want to give the listeners some background on this, because if you're not familiar with this whole situation, it can be somewhat confusing. The United Auto Workers is actually already there at the plant. They already have a union. It's called UAW Local 42, but they don't have the power to collectively bargain or organize strikes or do, you know, normal union stuff like that. And there's another one of these kind of informal unions there as well called the American Council of Employees. How unusual is this to have two unions at a plant, but neither one of them has the power to collectively bargain or anything like that?
It's very unusual. Typically, the way that unions can end is they have an election, and if they win a majority of the employees in a proposed unit, then they represent all of the employees in that organization. And what's happened at Volkswagen is unique in that neither one of these two organizations has proven majority status, and so neither one of them have the right to collectively bargain for the rest of their coworkers. And Volkswagen has just made the decision voluntarily to deal with them, although there's a lot of restrictions on that because the law doesn't allow them to actually, you know, bargain over wages, hours, conditions of employment. But anyway, that's the situation, and yes, it is very unusual.
Why do you think Volkswagen agreed to that? It seems like they were pushing for a works council, which is their style of employee representation, which is different than what we have in America.
Yeah, Volkswagen, I think, is caught between a rock and a hard place. They want to deal with their workers in the U.S. the same way that they do with their workers in Europe. Their problem is that the law here in the United States doesn't allow them to really do that. So there's works councils in Europe, but we don't have that same framework here. And because of that, they're trying to fashion sort of, you know, some arrangement that allows them to try to do what they want to do inside the bounds of the U.S. law. So that's why this arrangement has happened. And it is unusual, but it's kind of their attempt to try to deal with their employees in a sort of collective bargaining type way. But to do it without breaking the U.S. labor law.
Last year, when the plant was voting about whether to allow the UAW to represent the entire blue-collar workforce, this got national attention. We had NPR covering it. We had reporters from the New York Times here. This time, it hasn't gotten quite so much national attention. Why do you think that is? Maybe it's just Dieselgate overshadowing it, or is it because it's just such a smaller percentage of the workforce?
It's probably all of the above. It is. What the UAW is doing here and the way that Volkswagen is reacting to it, I think are what I would expect. And so the UAW is just trying to do anything they can to kind of get their foot formally in the door there. And so they've picked a smaller group of people to try to represent. Volkswagen, for its part, you know, wants to have this works council model, and that's dealing with everybody. That would certainly make way more sense from a labor peace standpoint, just from a trying to reduce headaches of dealing with this situation. And so they're resisting what the UAW is trying to do by carving out just this small group of workers. And then as far as the media attention, I think you're right. The Volkswagen gate has or Missions Gate. I don't know what it's called, but anyway, they've got huge, much, much bigger problems right now. I think that they're annoyed that the UAW has, attempted to do this during this time. My expectation is probably employees at that plant are also annoyed by this. It's kicking them while they're down. And it's an unfortunate situation that Volkswagen's dealing with. And I think because it is overshadowed by these other bigger issues and it is such a small group of people, you just don't have the same attention that you had last year.
You're the president of the Labor Relations Institute, and your organization doesn't seem particularly pro-union. Your website touts the organization as the preeminent firm in countering union organizing campaigns. Last week on this show, we spoke with Mike Cantrell, the president of UAW Local 42, about what he says are some of the benefits of union representation. Why is your group opposed to unions?
Well, first of all, what we're most in favor of is for employees to have a free choice in whether or not they wish to be represented. We certainly do have the point of view that on balance and in most situations, working through a third party like a union is not in the best interest of workers, that it is much better both for the company and for the employees themselves to work directly with their management than it is to work through a union. But that's not always the case. And we certainly, work with clients who have relationships with unions and their employees are represented, and those are productive relationships. So it's not right for every situation. It's not wrong for every situation. But I think the reason why, for example, the UAW has had such a terrible time of it here over the last, we're talking now decades, but they've continued to lose members and continue to suffer losses. And the reason for that is just that they're not successful at delivering at the bargaining table. Even just take these most recent examples of the labor agreements. With the big three, one of the agreements was voted down. They had to go back and revote it. And their own members, it's sort of their flagship contracts, aren't really happy about being UAW members. And so when when they're going in and trying to sell this product to brand new people, it doesn't look that great. And that's why, that's one of the reasons the employees at Volkswagen decided they didn't want to be represented.
That's Philip Wilson, president of the Labor Relations Institute. Philip, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.